someone goes like, yo, I think this place is haunted. And I talked to some people who said like they've also experienced this. My instinct isn't to go, shut your dumb ass up, this isn't haunted. My instinct is to go, well, I'm gonna have to turn the TV up because I ain't trying to see or hear none of that. I don't want to be a part of that.
That's such a black thought. Nigga, TV get rid of ghosts. You just gotta turn the TV up and them ghosts gonna be gone, boy.
Mommy, I see a ghost.
Well, turn the TV up.
All right, but how low is your TV? Because they wouldn't hang around if you turned it up. Yep, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that Shamar Moore, even Shamar Moore's poops are light-skinned. That's right, they come out the color of Michael Ealy. That man don't do nothing that ain't light-skinned, and his poops are no different. I am your host, Langston Kerman, as always, and you know I'm coming in hot. I always am. Sometimes I say I'm coming in hot, but then I come in with the same energy I come with in every week. And so I think I'm just a hot motherfucker. That's what I do. I come in hot. And my guest today, I would argue he's never come in hot. Never once has he walked into a room and it felt like, God damn, this nigga's energy is exploding. It's booming through the atmosphere of the space we've entered. But man, is he hilarious. I love him. He's a dear friend. You know him from Comedy Central. But more importantly, you know him from his brand new show on Showtime every Sunday called Flatbush Misdemeanors. I love it. It's a hilarious show. He is one of the creators, one of the stars. So funny. Give it up for my guest, Mr. Kevin Iso.
Thank you, man. Thank you for reading that like you wouldn't pay to say it.
Yeah, you know, you got to put some passion into it. You've offered me hundreds to thousands of dollars to say that nicely, but I said, no, I'll do it on my own.
I don't know how you know what color Shamar Moore's poops are either. That was a little, I'm like, this nigga got a camera in his house.
Look, I do the research. You got to do the hard work. Some of us are willing to really dig in.
I mean, that's why I don't have a podcast. It's too much. Sure. It's too much research.
You're too lazy to study Shamar Moore's poops, and that's why you don't have a podcast. I'm excited that you're here because you came to me with a conspiracy theory that I had never heard of before in my life. Even the entire sort of premise around it was super foreign to me. And I know you specifically sent a part of this larger conspiracy. So I'm going to frame this around the larger thing, which is My Mama Told Me.
Nigerian jazz / juju is real.
Yeah, okay. So I just jump into the story, right?
Yeah, tell All me, right. but just tell me what you know.
Well,
tell me.
I mean, this is what I know to be true. I mean, it's always kind of like a underlying thing. And I don't even think it's just like a Nigerian thing, but it's also, you know, West Indian people also kind of deal with it. And New Orleans people definitely voodoo, you know. So jazz, and when I went to Nigeria for the first time in 2015, I was going to the marketplace, this place called Yaba Market. And my cousin was telling me, like, yo, if you go out there, like, there's these dudes that have on gold rings. And if they touch you, whatever's in your pocket, go in they pocket. And at first, I was like, well, two thoughts went through my head. I was like, niggas ain't going to touch me. Like, what the fuck? And then the second thought was like, niggas just going to get some socks.
Right. Like,
it's not nothing.
You about to get my backup underwear because that's all I got in my pocket.
Yeah. But it was like to go out there. At first, I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. But then once I got out there and I seen it, I was like, yo, this shit definitely is real. And then my auntie told me, like, it actually happened to my cousin, like, in a different way, because there's so many different forms of it that, Yeah, and it happens to him like in a different way where he like kind of got brainwashed into giving away all my auntie money away to this dude. And then like he even came back to the house and was like asking my auntie like, yo, I need more money to give to him. He said, hey, if I give him more money, he gonna get us on an island or whatever. She was like,
whoa.
Nigga. And he lost his phone. He tried to go back and meet up with the dude again. But mind you, he like 14. And
so he's dumb. So he's just like, dumb.
Like, I mean, he's dumb. He's dumb. But at the same time, too, it's kind of like they grow up quick out there. Like my 10-year-old, my 10-year-old cousin, like when I was first out there, we went to the marketplace, right? She was trying to buy some pounded yam. And then the lady was like, it's like, say like 600 naira. And my cousin like, nah, 600. Yeah, I'll give you 4. I said, she 10 mm-hmm. years old, bro. I'm like, 4? And the lady like, okay, 450. And then she like, okay, fine. And then I'm looking at her. I'm like, Tayo, how the fuck? She like, it's called doing business. I'm yo, that's crazy.
She's demonstrating a skill that the average 10-year-old couldn't even begin to try to do in America.
Don't even have. How you bargaining with a woman that's like, 5 times your age. You
know right. I want that girl. I want your cousin helping me buy a Nissan Maxima. You know what I mean? Like, let's get her in a dealership and really like get some negotiations that are better than yams. I need her doing real work.
Bro, exactly. I'm looking at her like you'll be a dangerous politician. You fuck around.
All right. Wait. So let's rewind this back a little bit because I think you're cruising through some stuff that's gonna need some clarification. Some of my listeners are whiteys, so some of this is gonna require some translating. Some listen, Papa's bills are being paid by the white devil, and that's something I'll wrestle with this evening. But more importantly, as we are right now, I'm really interested, number one, in this idea of these people with the gold rings and like them sort of being able to transfer your belongings from your pockets into theirs. They're not looking at this when they say that this sort of magic is happening. This isn't robbery to them. They're not saying this is like, oh, you just got pickpocketed by these gold ring dudes.
You mean the people in the community aren't like they just picked your pocket.
Exactly.
I don't think that they think it's that at all, just because it's like it's such a level, like the history behind all of that, all the they call it jazz, and that was the first time I heard it, but you know, being where we from, I'm like voodoo, but the history behind voodoo is so like dark magic. Like religious people won't say voodoo or anything, they'll say that's the devil or that's, you know, heaven or hell or anything like that, but it's still the same thing ultimately. It's just like there's a whole nother underworld. It's like the deep web, you know what I mean? Of spirituality. It's like, oh, you there, like
It's like if you really want to buy some baby fingers, we know where you can do it. But
exactly,
exactly.
So I think they think it's real, and I'm not gonna lie, like I really do believe it. Like at first I was like, I ain't gonna lie, I believe it, bro. Like at first I was like, it's kind of nah, but it's kind of like, how could it not be real?
Well, say more, because I could tell you how it could not be real. I know a lot of people with gold rings that don't demonstrate any ability.
Well, okay. All right. So the gold ring thing, maybe that's not real.
Sure.
But at the same time, maybe it is, nigga.
I love that as an argument of being like, all right, okay, let's be serious. Maybe it's not real, but have you considered? Maybe it is.
But really, though, bro, like, it's something that, like, I can't tell you what life is like in another country without really kind of being there. Like, nobody can tell me, like, what New York is like if they never really been in New York. So, like, somebody to tell me, like, over there, like, yo, they do this shit out here. Like, really? Like, you might come in thinking like, no, they don't. And then now you done got, you know what I'm saying? Now you a believer. Yeah. And the only way you going to believe is if somebody rob your ass. But I'm not going to wait till somebody rob me. I'm going to believe it before they rob me.
Right. So I like that because by that suggestion, it's not even so much that you're like sitting and you're believing as much in the magic of it all, but you're believing in their belief in these correlations. So like, yo, I don't know if they can Harry Potter some shit from his pocket to my pocket, but I do know that they believe that. Therefore, I'm going to stay away from the people with the gold rings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, because then you got to also think about like, all right, is that real gold on that nigga finger or is this nigga?
Right.
But
or is that just a cool magnet that he's like pulling my shit into his? Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean?
So, I do think to that point, that is the issue with the way that we often deny people's faith and experiences and shit, right? Is that like, at the end of the day, whether I believe in what you believe in or not, there's a reason you have faith in this thing. And it isn't complete nonsense. It may sound silly and it may be sort of like hyperbolic in its reasoning, but it's not so illogical that you're just like a fucking idiot. There's probably some root to it. And with that, maybe I would do good to listen to at least part of that and then ignore the goofy parts.
You know what it's like? It's like when you see a bunch of people running away from something.
Yes.
And it's like, are you going to be that idiot that just keeps like, well, I don't know what they're running from, so I'm going to go find out myself. Like, you fucking
there could
dummy.
Be bigger threats in the distance. Yeah. Maybe we should just stay here and see what happens.
You fucking idiot. You better run too. And find out later. I got to see for myself. I don't have to see. I don't know what's over there, but people running, I'm running too.
I remember as a kid, we would go to the Taste of Chicago every year just to, you know, go like do hood rat shit with our friends, whatever. And every year, inevitably, it's Chicago. People start shooting at the Taste. And every year that would happen where like a crowd would run. And there was always inevitably somebody with us that we would have to be like, bro, let's go. We're not sticking around to figure this one out. Run, motherfucker. Meet you at the McDonald's and then we'll regroup and figure it out. You know what I mean?
That's your fault for hanging around white people.
Well, I grew up in the suburbs. I had what I had as a core group of friends. They were mostly black, but we had to sprinkle some whites in there. They were kind.
Let me ask you, do you believe in any sort of voodoo rituals?
I'll say this. I believe in the power of accepting things into your spirit and life. Do you know what I mean? So like, I don't necessarily know that I've ever had a ghostly experience, mm-hmm. but I do believe that like, if I were to fuck around with a Ouija board or fuck around with some juju or voodoo or whatever you want to call it, then right. I am welcoming something into my spirit that I'm not going to be able to just walk away from later.
Now, how do you justify that with when you do mushrooms and you see shit that ain't really there?
That's a good question. I think that it's not that dissimilar, maybe, that like, now I did the drugs, so I welcomed some shit into my brain that,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I see it. Yeah. I see it for what it is.
And so you're saying this trip to Nigeria in some ways was sort of mushrooms being introduced and allowing you to see something that other people may not be able to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all like, I'm finna sound like, I'm finna sound like some nigga that like, he's just trying to take your money, but it's all spiritual, brother. It's all
buy this water. This good water. This holy water. I get it, though. It is. It's a spiritual thing. I remember when we shot our half hours, we were in New Orleans, and apparently the hotel that we stayed in was haunted. That's what all the white women that also shot half hours that year kept telling me, was that this is a haunted hotel, and they each had experiences where they either saw a little girl running down the hallway that wasn't there, or like another little girl that was sitting at the edge of the bed. Like, there were like three different women, all of whom told me that they had like these ghostly experiences. And then when you pry further, you find out that at some point in their lives, they had interacted with like ghostly behavior. And so, yeah, y'all are the ones seeing it. Meanwhile, I'm fucking in a New Orleans hotel. It's dope.
Wait. Cause I stayed in a haunted hotel before too. Same experience. Actually, in another country, I forget where, but in another country where it was like this feel like where the ghosts be at. You know, yep. when you in fucking Ireland or wherever you at, I don't know where I was. I think it was in Germany or some shit. But when you stay in like the woods in Germany, nigga,
yeah,
it feel like, oh, now this is so. Did you have any like, you know, you get in the hotel room, you mm-hmm. and now it's quiet.
Yeah,
you by yourself. Let's set the mood.
All
you
right,
you by yourself now. It's well, quiet.
Let's be clear, it's not that quiet. Say Yes to the Dress is probably playing in the background at this point in my life. But I get your point. It's not as noisy as it should have been.
Exactly. But you played Say Yes to the Dress because you didn't want to see the ghost.
Oh, I'm like, terribly afraid of the quiet. And I agree. That is why the show was on.
That's my point. Is yeah. like you call somebody now. Now you like you start getting goosebumps and you like, oh, shit, let me get some human interaction or something. I ain't gonna lie. I'll be having thoughts because, you know, you watch The Shining, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah,
so I'll be having thoughts like it's like The Shining. Like, man, I'll fuck them little kids up. Like that's where my brain go.
Right.
Like, man, what's up? What's up? What's up? And then all the time, I'm really scared. But like, you know.
But y'all are still two little girls holding hands in the hallway. I'll kick the shit out of you.
Exactly. Because when it come down to it, they come in your face and now you swing it. You just look like a crazy in the hotel. They like, I told you he did crack.
Right. Somebody else comes down the hallway and it's just you alone fist fighting two invisible children. Yeah. Now you're fucked
look
up.
Look at him. I told you should have cut him off really.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you this because I do think I really love what you're saying about going to this foreign place and then experiencing something that is true to them on a daily basis and then being able to walk back to quote unquote home with this mm-hmm. new information. Mm-hmm. How many of the people, because your family's Nigerian, mm-hmm. they're living in Houston. Mm-hmm. How many of the people back home still maintain these theories, these things that came from Nigeria?
Back home in Nigeria, back home in Houston?
Back home in Houston. How many people on American soil are like, yo, Juju is real?
Well, my people grew up in Nigeria. So my dad, my mom, they moved out here when they was, my dad was 19 years old when he came out here, and he constantly goes back and forth, but most of his life was in Nigeria. So they definitely believe in it. I can see it. Like my mom's sister is a pastor. Mm-hmm. And her husband was a pastor, her son is a pastor, and I could see it. I've never actually had a real conversation with them about it, and it would be interesting to have one, but I can see like their spirituality, it definitely comes from a place where it's like, if I talk to them about that, they're like, they're going, like I said, they're going to phrase it in a way that's not, they might not use the word voodoo or jazz or juju, but they'll say, you know, there's bad spirits and there's good spirits. It's
right.
a battle between the spiritual world and the physical world. Always, every day you wake up, they're going to say it like that, but they might not say like,
yeah,
it's a nigga with a fire and a hat. Like the Mad Hatter. All right. But yeah, man.
Yeah. I think some of that, and that's really interesting. I think some of that just sounds like a language transfer, right? That like mm-hmm. you come to America, you start speaking a different type of language. You start speaking differently with the people around you. And so juju is a word that on average the American person would be like, get the fuck out of here. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And so you remove like the trigger words. You say like, no, I still believe in what I believe in, mm-hmm. but I'll take out all the things that are going to make you react in some crazy way and at least allow you to understand me on like a surface level.
Yeah, absolutely. Because now you get that white dollar.
All right.
Now you done got people because you're like white people Jew.
Yeah.
What the hell? That sounds like a candy.
All right, Malik. I think we've had enough of your antics tonight.
You start saying words like spiritual warfare And it's a battle between the, you know, the heaven and hell.
Yeah.
Now people, because that's C.S. Lewis' whole thing.
Right.
His books, like with the Great Divorce and everything. It was like, you know, that's his whole thing. And
you start talking like that, you could be a Trump supporter. You're a part of the team.
You're part of the team now. It's a whole thing, man. So, you know, definitely. But I really do think, you know, it dates back, though, to like slavery. Like slaves was into all of that stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's gone away. It's just taking, like, definitely, like you said, different names, different forms, all that.
Yeah, and I do think that that's sort of I think it's a corny thing that sort of happens as we move along in, like, generations and sort of grow and blah, 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 blah. I think we reach this point where we start to just want to make fun of the generations that came before us. Like, look at these stupid motherfuckers for doing a thing that they believed in back then. We're so advanced. We're much smarter right. than that now. And it's like, I don't know that we are. I actually don't think we're advancing at the rate that we think we are. We just are re-articulating our advancements in a way that makes us feel proud.
It's three planes now. It's the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
It's the physical realm. And it's the digital realm.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, bro, I'm going somewhere. Hold on. You might want to do your little segment.
Wait a minute, because it sounds like you're about to talk that talk. You trying to talk some talk?
Nah, really. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
I'm going to give you the music. You talk your talk. Go crazy.
I got to talk over the music?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Well, now you're ruining
it. It's the spiritual realm. It's the physical realm. And it's the digital realm. Inside of the, nigga, I feel like I'm doing a TED talk that's going nowhere. But inside of the, like, you know the two, the physical and the spiritual. But inside of the digital now, it's like this place where you can actually fake what's in the physical. You can't never fake what's in the spiritual at all. Like, that shit is what it is. And it's the reality of it. And then in the physical, if you want to actually accept what it is in the spiritual, you can. But you can also play yourself and try to, like, whatever. Now you're an addict. Now you're not really telling yourself the truth. You're not being honest with yourself. And the digital, you faking it to the rest of the world.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, everybody else, you like, oh, look, I'm out here in Tulum. I'm out here doing this. I'm out here that, and the third. And it could be in the reverse, too. You could also be looking like a bum online and really be having bread.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, nigga, I don't, listen, that's my case, nigga. I look like a nerd on the internet. But if you come look at a nigga for real, like...
I'm going to be honest. Nobody's going to give you pussy because of this podcast. So you can... You gonna let that little dream go. That was beautiful. Listen, I've never seen someone fail talk that talk worse. That you truly did not nail it in any kind of way. Normally, I always punctuate it with a cool drop afterwards to make everybody feel good. You did a terrible job at talking that talk. But I will say this. Your ideas of the three planes are one that I like a lot. That's good shit. Good ideas, bad performance. 8 out of 10, I'd say.
welcome to my stand-up, my stage performance. This nigga got good ideas, awful execution.
I swear to God, if he ever makes eye contact with the audience, we're going to love him.
No, real shit.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to take a break. In terms of... the juju and the jazzing and all of these other things, do you think that it has the potential to grow outside of the space that it already lives in? Do you think that this is something that could eventually make its way to America, to other places outside of West Africa and, you know, where it lives right now?
I think in a way it has, in a form. I don't think that, like, you know, it's as, like, basic or, you know, like it's just like just so rooted in, like, literally you go to the marketplace, somebody, but in a way, like, you know, scamming is so big. Everybody, them PPP loans that everybody was taking out, and
right.
you know, everybody trying to scam Jeff Bezos' wife. She just gave out another how many billion. Everybody
Eight.
Got now everybody arm broke. You know what I'm saying? So in a way, absolutely, it's already here. But it's just, even to say, like, Peter Popoff with all the, you know, when he was selling all the miracle water.
Yeah, the miracle water joint.
The the rags, you know, you wipe this rag, you be cancer free. Buy this rag, wipe it on your head. So absolutely, you know, it's just like everything else. It's Americanized. It's Westernized. It's
right
now here, but it's our version of it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. To your point, there isn't that much of a difference between this dude selling miracle water and these other people who are basically saying, like, you can cleanse yourself with these objects or waters or whatever the fuck it is. And the only difference is that America trusts it more from a white dude in a suit than they do from some Nigerian person who, like, may also have a suit on, but it ain't a suit we recognize. So we like, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
It ain't a suit we recognize. Ah, shit. No, that's funny. That's funny as fuck. But just to say, too, because I do think that there's also a good juju, good voodoo, good jazzing, good version, and there's a bad version, just to say, like, that's what I believe.
No, I think that's important also for everybody to understand, is that the negative connotation is truly just the way that you use these things. It is not to say that these things themselves are inherently bad.
Eloquently put, Langston.
Thanks, man. That's why I'm in charge of the podcast. Anyway, we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more Kevin Iso and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
Do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America? America, America.
Yep, we're back here with more Kevin Iso, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about jazzing and juju and all the different iterations of voodoo that existed before voodoo, that sort of birthed voodoo in America and the things that Kevin believes. Is it just the gold rings that you're sort of sold on, or is it all of it? Like, literally anything they tell you, you're like, yep, I'm with it.
Well, some of it is wits and some of it is like, okay, I don't know anything about that, so I'm going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like naturally, and I don't want to sound like I'm a gullible human being. I'm not, but naturally I'm actually extremely skeptical of shit.
Yeah.
So when they told me, like my auntie was telling me the other day, she said like it usually starts in the form of a question. Like they'll ask like, where are you going? Or do you want to make more money or whatever? But whenever I'm traveling and somebody talks to me like that, I'm already like, nah, nigga, I know where I'm going. Even if I don't know where I'm going, just because like I'm used to all of that. I done lived in the Bronx. I done lived in Brooklyn. I done lived in a lot of places. And being in Nigeria in itself, right? When you get off the airport, like, dudes start grabbing you. I've never grabbed a girl. I don't even think people do this anymore, to be honest, because you know how time fly and you don't even really realize like it's a different era, but you still like holding on to something that like really happened 10 years ago, but you acting like it happened yesterday. But you know how like when I was in college, like dudes would be like outside the club. I'm sure they still do this shit. But
they do it.
They'll be outside the club and they'll be like grabbing girls. Mm-hmm. Like you don't know her or nothing from nowhere, but you'll be outside. And it's not parking lot pimping. Parking lot pimping different. It's like parking lot pimping, you in front of the car, you playing your music. She like, oh, you got a Porsche?
Yeah, parking lot pimping is about she catch the vibe and then you can move it from there. This is about literally trying to snatch a woman from her path.
You don't got no car. You just grabbing girls. Like, what the
fuck? Hey, bitch,
fuck?
You trying to take a walk?
Bitch, why you walking? If I was your man, I would never let you walk nowhere. Like, really, nigga? That's the line that you...
Yeah. Nah, I remember that era of culture, right? That was like, it reminds me so much of like a Cameron era of like, black men, you know what I mean? Cameron in his heyday was a nigga who would grab your hand as you're leaving the club.
Absolutely, but Cameron got money. A lot of these niggas grabbing,
they just
grabbing because this is all they got to hold on to.
Sure.
Right? So nigga wasn't even in the club the whole night and he outside grabbing your hand. But so that's how they was grabbing me in Nigeria.
Right.
They was grabbing me by my hand and shit. So like that element of it, I was just like, damn, like this is like really aggressive. So that part of it, like I'm already blocking off that. But mm-hmm. anything that I don't know, if they like, yo, frog legs and all of that shit, once you start throwing in words and animals that I'm not like used to seeing on a daily basis, I believe it.
Right.
Like, as soon as you like, yeah, it's a, you know, reindeer antlers or shark fin and all that shit, I'm like, oh, that's a real thing.
Like, okay. Like, because I don't fuck with reindeer, so I don't know what reindeer do.
But if you put them, like, if somebody told you, like, Langston, like, if you get a monkey tail and mm-hmm. a rabbit ear and you put it in a pot, bro, it'll make your hair grow. It'll fill out your beard.
Right.
Like, somebody tell me that, I'd be like, okay, I believe it, because I'm never going
to
do it.
Right. I'm never going to collect these three items and mix them, even if I did get a monkey tail, which I don't plan to get anytime soon. That's going to be my third phase of my life. But when I get a monkey tail, I don't see myself then grinding it up into monkey tail powder and then mixing it with some rabbit foot and being like, all right, and now I'm ready to fill in my beard. It's like, no, I'm just going to have a rabbit tail and I'll put it in a case and be like, y'all trying to see a rabbit tail or a monkey ass? I got both.
Now I'm ready to fill in my beard. Some people would say that's also how COVID started. I'm not going to say that, but I just... Some people would say that. Hey, listen, yo, yo, nigga, that's how COVID.
That's some COVID shit. It was grinding up monkey tails. Mixing them with rabbit. Now we all
they was trying to get a full beard.
There's a man in Wuhan wanted a full beard. Now I gotta stay inside for 9 months. This is crazy.
This nigga wanted the Mr. Miyagi.
All right. Well, now we're canceled. And this was a great episode. I want to jump into some of this research. I did a fair amount of research on the subject. And let's just start simply. And a lot of this you've already covered. Juju, jazzing, as it relates to the world of West Africa, seems to specifically refer to the idea of infusing magic into amulets or trinkets or even a person, right? In order to enact your wishes. And those wishes, like you said, can be positive or they can be negative. They don't have to necessarily correlate with good or bad. And West Africa also sort of tends to use language that implies black magic or omens or curses. Voodoo is a thing that we know in America and it attempts to protect oneself from the sinister unseen world, right? And that sort of goes back to what you were saying about like, your parents sort of using the idea of like the devil at work and like the sinister things that are in sort of like play. It's all protection and or activation against things that you don't care for in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know how there's like Greek mythology and Greek gods and there's mm-hmm. Zeus and Kronos and all of them guys. There's also like African mythology.
Yep.
So there's Eshu, there's whoever Beyonce be talking about on her songs. I forget her name, but it's a water. Like the people that know, they gonna listen to this thing. Be like, nigga, you talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
Oshun, I believe.
Oshun. Oh, all right.
Yeah, you know.
Let me find out.
My wife is in the beehive. I gotta pay attention sometimes.
So, all of that stuff, it plays into, you know, what you're talking about, where it's just like, even though I personally believe that a lot of the Greek mythology derived from the African mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of the African mythology, it just like, of course, like, again, everything else and become a part of the diaspora and the shit spread and information get lost. And it's like that whisper game. Like you say this to that person.
Yeah.
And you come back and it's a whole different name. You know, so Eshu turned into Esu or
right.
Asu or whoever, however they pronounce
it. To your point, it's cultural telephone. And so it becomes like
this nigga coming up with phrases on the spot, nigga. Cultural telephone. Yeah.
Listen, I love how impressed you are with me just repeating back things you're saying to me in different words. It's truly I've never felt more confident. I'm alive, motherfucker. This is great. I do like the idea, though, that in some ways we are all sort of like circulating the same premises and then adding our little like spin to it, much in the way that like everybody's just making food with rice. But then you just add your own way of, you know, y'all, you make a different rice than I make rice. And then we all have different rice, but it's rice all the same.
Absolutely. As long as the rice isn't whitewashed, mm-hmm. then it's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's bad rice. We'll say
it's
that.
It's bad. It's some bad. It's, oh my God. I just had a whole, I don't even want to say this on a podcast, but I might say it. All right, fuck it, because they're not going to listen to this. So I went to my, no, just speaking on bad rice now. I don't know. Okay. I'm going off topic. But I went to my man's place, and he just got married, and his wife made some rice, and God damn, if I didn't know she was white before, I knew she was white when that Yo, rice came out, nigga. Jesus Christ, it was awful. Like, but it was bad. It was bad.
If you showed up blind and you were like, bro, man, I bet your wife is beautiful. I don't know race, but I bet she's a gorgeous woman. And then you taste it and you're like, oh, you done married the devil. You married a cursed, white soul.
this is a fucking white woman. Because you know how rice, okay, so you've eaten rice. So you know how rice, like, you can make rice where you can taste each rice. Mm-hmm. I don't know the word, each grain. But then you also got that rice where the shit just together.
Yep.
It's like nachos. You like, damn, nigga, I can't get this shit apart for nothing. Yep. So that shit was like that. And I'm just like, I had to eat it, bro.
It was a brick of rice.
Bro, like that shit was, I had to take a sip after each bite. I was like, yeah. Oh, boy.
Now it was some good rice, baby girl. So you say y'all going to be together forever? Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
That shit was awful. Okay. But no, I'm happy that you're married. And I think that the
many blessings unto thee. I want to. Okay.
Yeah.
This is one of the things that surprised me in the research. And I think this is important. I didn't realize how much of this isn't just something sort of locked in the like cultural outskirts of like the African world, right? Like this isn't some shit where like only people in certain areas believe it or like outside of the big cities. Apparently it's a pretty well sort of like received, almost bleeds into public life. Like I read an article about this state governor who refused to move into his official home because magical objects had been left behind by another governor who sought help by this elderly juju man to rid his state of like crop eating insects. He was so afraid of the crop eating insects that he hired a juju man to help get rid of them. And then subsequently, the dude who replaced him was like, nah, he left some of his shit behind and I can't be walking into his space, which is now, you know, covered in potentially bad omens, bad juju.
Yeah, them niggas is crazy, bro. Like, I always think about it. I think about it like the Avatar. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when they're choosing the Avatar. Oh, no. It's not the Avatar. It's actually the Dalai Lama, right? When they choose the Dalai Lama and then they give them like certain objects and they say like, do this or do that. I don't know the exact. Do you know?
I think
I don't know.
I could be basing this off of a film, so I could be very wrong. But I think that it's they lay out a bunch of objects and then the person is meant to choose. And in choosing, they're able to identify who is, in fact, the chosen person because of the decision that they make.
Right. Like, but they'll do it with babies.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like a baby that's just like, da da da, and then they're like, oh, this baby is chosen.
It's an awesome fucking baby.
Yeah, it's a dope ass baby,
God
boy.
Damn,
I don't know
with
who
this baby.
This baby Ooh. Cool as fuck.
So, y'all see you pick the keychain? Yeah, fuck with this baby.
So I think of it like that, where it's like those guys believe in it this, that, and the third, yes. But I also think that, like, you know, I'm not going to make my decisions based off a baby or another man personally. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just not going to do it. So if a baby sit there and pick the keychain, I'm not going to come into office and be like, oh, the keychain is the key right. to the people's hearts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think more importantly, babies are just babies. Do you know what I mean? That, like, at the end of the day, babies aren't prophets. They're just humans with a soft spot in their head. And so, like, I can't, to your point, I can't spend my life at the whim of what a child might pick up. I've seen babies try to suck a man's titty because they thought it also yes. gave milk. Like, there is no awesome. Other option. There's no chance that I presume that a baby is a smart person in that way.
Yes, but that's how I think that the, like, he went into office and he said, oh, he did something here, so I'm not going to be, like, mm-hmm. that's how I think about, that's like Biden assuming that Trump was smart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little, but even, or even Trump, like, not even to take sides, like, even Trump assuming that Obama was smart. Like, it's like, oh, now I'm in the White House and he did all this stuff with this dog. Oh, now we got to clean it out. It's just like, well, that now you granted him power in my mind, because I do think, like you were saying, like, it's particular to each individual. Like,
yep.
So, yeah, a lot of them dudes is, you know, they ban Twitter in Nigeria. Like, it's crazy.
Right. They just don't even want these ideas spreading around yeah, anymore than yeah. they probably already have.
Yeah. How you banned a whole social media platform?
They're probably healthier for it. I'll be honest. I don't think it's making us good people. So, yeah, ban it. They're doing the right thing. One of the things you sent me when we first started talking about this original idea was, and it had a lot of interesting stuff. And specifically, the article talked about, like, these kids who, the way that the author found out about this whole thing was these kids he grew up with who had claimed to have had this experience where a preschool teacher gave them candy to take home. And then they put the candy in their pockets. And instead of eating the candy when they were told to eat the candy, they left the candy in their pockets to save for later. And by the time they returned to get the candy out of their pockets, the candy had turned into human fingers. And this was meant to be, I think, a lesson on, like, gratitude and, like, doing the right thing when you're told and following instructions. And so you, a boy, a child, reach into your pocket, pull out a human finger when you was trying to get a junior mint, and suddenly you're scarred for life because of that. But then also, I guess you've learned a lesson. And so I wonder, how much of this do you just see as allegory, as, like, a chance to learn from the experiences you've had?
I think that a lot of it is actually allegory. I mean, putting it like that, bro, it's like again, like, you know, to bring back C.S. Lewis, it's like
mm-hmm.
all of that. It's, I think the Bible is a lot of allegory.
Yes.
To be honest, you know, so things that where you say, like, when they said, okay, and in Africa, they've done it. And in the Middle East, they do it too, where it's like, when you're stealing, they'll cut off your hand.
Yeah.
Stealing. So you don't steal no more, which is, it's fair. It makes sense if you're living by that logic.
Yes.
Like, it's like, okay, then this is what you do. But at the same time, too, it's also like a beating would suffice.
Yeah.
Like you didn't have to take his whole hand for the rest of his life.
Sure, yeah.
Like, you could have just, like, told him that was wrong.
If you gave him a stern talking to, he might have also yeah. learned a lesson. I don't know that you had to take it as far as you did.
Now you got to be a left-handed hooper for the rest of his life.
Just crossing over from one hand to the same hand. Yeah.
Everybody think it's a deformity. He like, nah, I used to steal.
Nah, man, I just really wanted some honey buns, and they was upset. They didn't like that.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think that a lot of that stuff, it's meant to be a message, you know, that you take and you understand, and then you interpret into your own. Like, my man was telling me about, he was reading something, but he was telling me, you know, that whole story of, like, Abraham sacrificing his children. Is it Abraham? I don't know. I don't read.
Abraham is asked by God to murder his son, Isaac.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he was telling me that whole thing is like, say you're an alcoholic and Isaac is vodka.
Mm-hmm.
And God is asking you to get rid of vodka.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't want to get rid of vodka. God,
you know what vodka does to me. I love vodka.
Come on, God. And God like, get rid of vodka. And then you take vodka to the altar and you're ready to sacrifice vodka. And then God like, you can have vodka. Yeah. I was just making sure that this is a horrible message. Like, it's a horrible analogy.
The parents,
it's a horrible analogy.
The parents at home are not going to care for you equating their children to a poison that we drink to stop feeling things.
That's a horrible analogy. But if you understand what I'm trying to say, you get it. You know what I'm saying? It's another allegory, actually.
Sure.
So
I do. I'm really glad that you made the connection to Christianity, because I started reading articles about, and you know, in terms of the way white people write about these things, it often has like a negative connotation, right? They're not writing mm-hmm. about it in any light that promotes positivity. But I read this BBC article. It basically connects juju to human trafficking. And it takes a few big steps here, but they claim that these practices are more dangerous than physical chains. And in the article, it talks about this 24-year-old Nigerian woman who basically put these two other girls through a series of like ritualistic juju ceremonies in order to make them so afraid of leaving that they stayed under her control. She made them drink dirty water. She made them eat snake and snails. And she even shaved their heads, which made these women not want to leave and allowed her to hold them captive and subsequently sell them into sex slavery. Right. And so the article spends the entire time being like, this is Juju's fault. This is all some Juju shit. And we got to be careful about Juju. And a part of me kept thinking, I don't know, man, that sounds like the same thing the Bible does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Nah. You went in on it. Like, it's definitely a way to control.
Yeah.
It's a way to control people. It's the same thing. It's the same thing Fox News does. It's the same thing that yes. CNN does. It's a way to like get people underneath whatever umbrella of knowledge that you're trying to create for them to understand. And then once they get that, then it's like, okay, we've gotten these people inside of our circle. Now they're behind us. Now they're now we've created an army of whatever it is that we're trying to push.
Yep.
I don't know what it is that they're trying to push. Apparently, in this story, this guy's trying to make bread, but he's sex trafficking, whatever.
Well,
whatever.
Girl, but you're yeah, same premise, yeah.
Oh, girl, yeah. Same thing. It's like you're trying to get people behind you for whatever it is that you're. It's the same shit with all these fucking cults, the Scientology shit. The shit that I forget the last cult thing that they put on Netflix that everybody was watching.
Oh, the NXIVM joint?
The NXIVM joint.
Yeah.
It's the same shit. Like, you could really use anything. Bro, you see people using comedy to control people.
Uh-huh.
Like, people be really warped into this shit where I just be like, bro, if I'm not funny, I'm not funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's at the end of the day, I'm going to move on to the next thing and right. I'm going to figure out a way to make this shit happen. But you see people really like creating cults, like doing comedy classes and all of this shit. And it's like, nigga, who the fuck need a class to laugh, nigga?
Right.
What are we doing right now? So all of that, like when I said it's good and bad earlier about the voodoo shit, it's like, we talking about voodoo, but we really talking about everything.
Yes.
Like, it's good and bad business. It's good and bad. Like, I done got into this hospital and it's like this medical field, and it's good and bad. Like, oh shit, if I go this way, I'll be able to make mad money, but then I'm also exploiting people and also all this fucking illegal plastic surgery that I'm doing that's legal, yep. but it ain't legal, like all of that shit. So I hear what you're saying with that article, but again, white people are the reason that
hold on. I hear you. And honestly, I'll say this. That's how they get you. Because I do think, even as I read this article, right, even as I was sort of like going through this article, a part of me felt like the article itself is a sign of the occult, right? It is mm-hmm. sort of like that in action, because all it is trying to create a type of fear of something foreign or different. Which isn't to say that what this girl is doing is okay. It isn't. what she was doing was super fucked up. If she is, in fact, human trafficking these women, there's no excuse for that. But that doesn't mean that we have to correlate a religion with that. We could just call her a fucked up lady and say that she misinterpreted what potentially could just be a way that people get by, a way that people understand the world, much in the way that we do with Christianity or Islam or whatever other religions.
Exactly, bro. Because you can't say that everybody that's, like you say, Islam, everybody that's Muslim, you can't say that they bad. But Muslim people will easily tell you, like, yo, it's terrorist groups that's associated with our religion.
Hell yeah.
But they not us. No. They them. They doing their own thing. That's they done read the same shit. They done read the same shit we read, and then they done interpreted it in a fucked up way. And then so now they doing all this shit over here. Yeah. But you can't associate the whole group with that shit.
No, I'm chilling. I got my rug. I got my little hat. I ain't bothering nobody.
Come on, nigga. You just described Aladdin.
Hey, Disney did some fucked up shit, too. They made some weird correlations. That don't mean I wasn't describing a religion. That just means, hey, we got to do some analysis, a deep dive.
Yeah, bro.
Okay, we're going to take one more break. We'll be back with more Kevin Issa and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
Can you lend a nigga a pencil?
Yeah, we're back here with more Kevin Issa, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about juju and jazzing and all the stuff that comes from West Indian practices of faith and belief, good and bad. I think it's time for us to play a game. Let's play a game. And this is a very fun game that I've cooked up special for you. It's called What Juju Would You Do?
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
It's what juju would you do? And how, the way that this works, I'm going to introduce to you some celebrities who I believe could use a little bit of juju to help fix some of the problems that have arisen in their lives. And my ask for you, Kevin, is that you suggest a little bit of juju that you think they could handle, that would help make their lives a little better based on the things that have happened to them. Does that make sense?
Okay. What kind are you going to give me the juju too, or I got to make?
Nah, this is all you, baby. This oh, shit. This some fun improv. Just a good game of creating through comedic magic. You got it. Okay. I believe in you. Okay. What? We'll start right, simple. We'll make this nice and easy. Khloe Kardashian has been cheated on now for a record 59 times by Tristan Thompson. 59. I don't know if that number is real, but that's what I'm going to tell people. 59 times he's dogged her out by women publicly. What juju might you suggest that old Khloe Kardashian does to help alleviate this cheating problem that she's dealing with?
She's got to do some type of juju that makes her gay. Because there's not no way that she gonna stop getting cheated on. But in her line of, like, not just women in general, but Khloe specifically, mm-hmm. in her line of, like, these are the men that I want to date. All right, those are the men you want to date, but understand these are the circumstances that come with it.
Sure.
So you got to rub some fucking female raccoon hair on your on your nipples. And become gay.
Okay, so she's clearly attracted to an unhealthy relationship with men, in that she's attracted to scumbag dudes who are naturally going to cheat on her. And so Absolutely. Your best suggestion is to rub female raccoon hair on herself so that she may so that she may free herself of her attraction to these scumbags and potentially find a nice lady to build a life with.
Yes.
All right. It's a good answer. Good answer. Survey says good answer. Okay. Here's another one. Nicki Minaj. Old Nicki Minaj has now had an alleged pedophile for a brother and then an alleged pedophile for a husband. What would you suggest for old Nicki Minaj to help alleviate the bad omens coming into her life?
I don't know. Keep them niggas away from candy. I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a hard one, bro. I don't know. I don't like speaking on family business because, like, it's not her fault. Like, she's just like around these people,
sure.
And it's not her fault. But you know, best I don't know what to say.
I don't know.
Keep them niggas away from lollipops, Nikki.
I heard Candy, maybe she rubs two lollipops together and dips them in some rainwater, and maybe that'll help heal the sugar from her life and theirs. I don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, let's do one that's a little sillier. Maybe this will take some of the sting off of this. This is a personal favorite of mine. Terrence J was once caught driving away from a hit and run with his side piece in his car. He got in an accident. He was driving with his side piece in the car. What juju would you suggest for old Terrence J to help alleviate some of the mistakes that transpired?
Terrence J, you don't even need juju for this. All you got to do is say, nigga, that was Langston Kermit. That wasn't me. The world will believe you.
Big head, light skin. It's got to be him.
You don't even need juju for that, nigga. Just
big head, light skin, buff if you look at him from the right angle. It's Langston.
Get somebody else in trouble, bro. Blame it on someone else.
That's a good answer. Okay, this is the final one, and you got to use juju for this one. I don't think it's just going to be blaming me for these problems. Okay, this is my favorite one. Whatever happened to Busta Rhymes' neck? What juju would you suggest?
Nah, bro, stop. No.
What juju would you suggest to make Busta Rhymes' neck go back to normal?
Oh, bro, come on, man. Nah, Buzz is a good dude.
Great,
man.
Dude. Terrible neck, but great spirit. Neck is thick as a redwood, but beautiful.
God, damn it. Sometimes I hate comedy because I don't know. Eventually, I'm going to run into him. He'll be like, yo, what was all this shit you was popping him on my neck, nigga? Like, it wasn't even me, dog.
Buster, it wasn't me. I swear to God, I love your neck.
The cure for Busta Rhymes' neck. I guess you got to. Okay. So. The only way this is going to work is on some Freaky Friday shit.
Oh.
Like, on some, like, you know, you got to transfer bodies, but you ain't transfer their whole body, you transfer their neck. And whoever neck busts, you know, he got a lot of, like, platinum and gold, mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of jewelry. So you say the neck prayer into the jewelry. Whatever Bible quote worked for that. What was y'all saying earlier? It was the one Justin was saying. What was that Bible quote?
Oh, that you don't want to be lukewarm. You want to be hot or cold when it comes to God, but you can't be lukewarm.
Okay, so you don't want to be thick neck when it comes to God. You gotta be, just do it like that. You don't want to be thick neck when it comes to God. You gotta be thin or
in the middle,
or in the middle, and then. Say that into a ring, and then you just touch a lot of thin neck. I want to say the women, because it'd be weird if you start touching dudes' necks.
Nah, like, you I'm need trying, the neck that I'm you want to have, trying, so you got to touch trying, man's neck. You got to run around touching men's necks, and then maybe it'll transfer to you.
Yo, all right, as long as you're choking them.
There it is. All right, we did it. This was a great time, Kevin. Could you tell the people at home where they could find you, what shit you got going on?
I am currently, you can find me every Sunday night on Showtime at 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central Time. I don't know what time that is, LA, but you can figure it out.
7:30, baby.
7:30 LA, Showtime, Flatbush Misdemeanors every Sunday for the next motherfucking, we did four, so the next about 7 weeks.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's a gorgeous show. Oh, finish.
Oh, no, yeah. And then it's Kevin isopropanol on Instagram, isopropanol, like the alcohol. And then on Twitter, it's I'm not available.
Okay.
Because, yeah. I what do you think, Lacey? You think I should get back on Twitter?
I liked your Twitter. You tweeted once a year, and it was mostly you critiquing yourself for being on it. You truly seem dedicated to the art form. So, yeah, get back on Twitter. It seems worth it. No, Kevin's hysterical. I think he's great. And please watch Flatbush Misdemeanors. It's great. And you can follow me at Langston Kerman. And as always, if you want to send us drops, if you want to send us notes, if you want to send us your own theories, please send them to mymamapod@gmail.com. Otherwise,
wait,
bye, bitch.
Wait, no, wait, not bye, bitch. Last thing, Langston did a fucking phenomenal job on Pause with Sam J. I'm sure he's already talked about it on the pod, but I ain't talk about it. So now I'm talking about it. But he did a phenomenal job. Man. Head writing show, like, basically, you know, he's doing everything. I ain't going to put him out there like that. But he did a great job with that show. You guys check it out and support. And, you know, he coming out with the motherfucking bust down song. So, you know, stay tuned.
Nobody's ever promoted me this much, and it's beautiful. Thank you, Kevin. And, yeah, okay, now officially, bye, bitch.